We begin the current daf Masechta Bavasa daf Nun Gimel. We begin on the bottom of the Nun Beis Mabeis, five lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the discussion of the previous daf, explaining the last part of our Mishnah. Although that we learned in our Mishnah that there are certain individuals that they do not have the halacha of our parak of Cheskes Abatim, of establishing a chazakah after having it, let's say, by karka for 3 years, but we said that only applies to what we call the chazakah of the simen, which is to identify that this person had bought it and he just lost his documentation. And to prove it, see, I've been in possession of this for 3 years and was uncontested. But says the Mishnah, but there's a different chazakah that does not require 3 years. Moreover, these individuals could go ahead and establish a chazakah. When it's a chazakah of kinyan, when the person is selling something to somebody else, then of course a person could just go ahead and do a certain proprietary type of act, which is, as the Mishnah had explained, which our Gemara is going to elaborate on, where if he just closes a door, makes a wall, makes an opening, if you do that, that already is a chazakah, one of the three kinyanim of Karkov, Kesher, Shtar, and chazakah, that will go ahead and immediately create the kinyan of chazakah. So on that theme, the Gemara brings a ton of Hoshea. Hoshea taught, Bekedushin de Be'Levi, from in the Brises of Masechtas Kedushin that Levi had put together. In other words, just like our organization of Brises we have from Rebchi and Rebbeishia, Levi had his own order of Brises. So from one of those Brises, Rav Hoshea taught the following halacha. Nol gadur parts, just like the halacha of our Mishnah, if someone closes, makes a door, or a wall, or a little, or opening, kolshu, even if it's just a minute amount, befanav, if it was done in front of the one who was selling it to him, harizu chazaka. So this regarding a sale, whereas the Mishnah teaches in Kedusha Chavav Medalef that karka is acquired through chazaka, it's one of the three ways you acquire it. If he does any one of these small actions in front of the guy who's selling it to him, that immediately will be the kinyan of chazaka for the one who's buying it. That was the Braisa, how it was said. Now on that, the Gemara asks, which our Mishnah doesn't mention this idea, and the Gemara asks on this Braisa, what, befun of in? This is only if it was done, the kinyan of chazaka was done in front of the seller, then it's a considered kinyan? What, and shalei befun of, but if the consumer does not do this in front of the seller when he's making a door or closing up the wall, then loy? Then what, it's not going to be chazaka then? Why would the kinyan have to be done in front of the meicher? It's an act of proprietorship, which he does when he creates a kinyan, why would it have to be in front of the meicher? So Amar Rava explains, he writes, Hachi Kamra, this is what the Brais is saying, a different halacha. If the lekeach does this kinyan of chazaka, where he makes a wall or he makes an opening, bifanav, in front of the meicher, then leitzarch lemeimerle, what the Brais is teaching is that then the seller does not have to tell the consumer these words. He doesn't have to tell him, leich chazek v'kanei, go ahead, do the chazak and acquire it. Rather, because since he was obviously willing to sell this to him, and they had made up a certain amount of money, and moreover, the lekech is doing a chazak in front of the meicher, that is obviously that he's agreeable to that and it's going to be a chazak, because he wants it, and that's why he's being quiet. And therefore, from that point onward, the seller cannot back out anymore, and the consumer is obligated to give the money for the acquisition that he had made on this guy's things. Now, however, as we continue on top of Nun Gimel Alaf, the Braisa was saying, but if Shaloi Bafanov, if let's say this consumer is going to take possession and not in front of the seller, for example, let's say it's in a different city, or even in that city, but without the awareness of the seller, then that's what the Braisa was saying, that it's not going to be Chazaka only because Sarch Lameimerle, in that situation, the seller has to tell the Lekach, Leich Chazek V'Kani, go and take possession and acquire it. Meaning, because even though he had already given the seller the money, but the karka is not acquired with just the money. Why not? Isn't that one of the three ways that you kind of karka? Is because we're talking about in the city that the norm is to write a document. In that type of situation, money itself would not be effective in creating the kinyan until you do a chazaka, which is what we're describing over here. If he tells him, lechazek v'kani, and then he does, then it's going to be a kinyan. If it's not in front of him. Again, if in front of him, we said he doesn't have to even tell him that, but doing the act of chazak itself would be the kinyan, or until he writes a documentation. As Gemara says, the first parak Masechta Kedushin of Chavav Med Aleph, on that mission that says, Nechasim Mishesh L'machrayis Niknim B'Kesev, that, what do you mean? You could acquire a piece of land with just money, and that Rav explains over there, we didn't learn that only if it's a place where they don't usually write a document. But if it's a place that they usually write a document, then the guy is not intending to have the transfer done until a document is written. No. But if he specifies that he specifies that he wants to acquire with the money, without a chazakah or shtar, then yes, it would work. But in general, we assume that the actual money is not going to take effect until the guy goes ahead and does chazakah. So regarding that halacha, the Braisa was teaching that it depends. If it's right in front of the seller, so that's what the Braisa was saying, that b'fon of hariz chazakah, meaning it, you don't, he doesn't have to tell you. Just by doing the chazakah, he's obviously agreeable. When it's not b'fon of, then yes, it's not going to be a chazakah just by doing a chazakah. He has to tell you, le'chazek v'kani. And only then could we say that he's agreeable and wants to, you to go ahead and allow you to do chazakah, and then it's going to be a full-fledged kinyan of the karka. Now, Bayi Rav. Rav asked, because he heard this brisa of the brisas of Levi, that said that this chazakah of the lekeach has to be in front of the seller, but not in front of the seller, it's not going to be a chazakah until, as we explained the brisa, the seller tells him explicitly, lechazek v'kani, go ahead, although it's in another city, go do the chazakah and acquire it. Now, so it's regarding that Rav asked, matana heyach, what would halacha be when he's not selling it to him, but gifting to him? In other words, do we say that brisa is only talking about by a sale, but by gifting, since he says, here, go ahead, I want you to take this gift of this piece of land, and then he does a chazakah not in front of the gifter, it would be a chazakah, because although he didn't tell him lechazek v'kani, as the Gemara will shortly explain, why would a gift be different is because when someone gives a gift, he gives it wholeheartedly. Why are you giving a gift to someone? Because you love them, you want to show appreciation, so you're giving it to them all the way, and therefore maybe there he doesn't have to tell him lechazek v'kani, even though it's lebefanav. Or not, maybe it's not any different. That was the question that Rav had. Now, Amar Shmuel said regards to this question from Rav, Maite bai lele abba. What exactly is Rav's question regarding a gift more than a sale? Says Shmuel, to the contrary, it's a kavu chaymer that it should not acquire until he tells him lechazek v'kane. Because he says as follows, Hashta, right now, let's look at it. Umam mocher, if regarding the brisa that for sure is talking about a sale, the kuyoiv leizuzi, where at least the buyer is giving money to the seller today or tomorrow after he's going to do the chazakah, because it's with that intention, it's with that purpose that this lekech is being machzik, so that he'll end up paying up money to the seller, where the seller's not losing anything because at least he's getting all the value of that field. Or it could even be talking about that money actually was already given before the chazakah was done. But still, as we explained before, the money itself would not create the kinyan, where if it's a place where they usually write a documentation. Actually, as it's brought in the Brisa Maseches Kedushin of Chaf Zayin Men Aleph, let's say someone sells someone 10 fields in 10 different countries. So once he does the chazak on one of the fields, he acquires all the fields. Now, the Gemara there qualifies and says, but that was only if he really gave the value of all that. So you see that even though the money was already given, but you still need the chazakah, at least of one of the fields, to acquire the fields. So you see that you need the chazakah, but there is at least money tendered. So Shmuel says, so if regards to his sale, we learned in the Braisa, where even though the lekech is giving or gave money to the seller, and still, it's only if the seller tells to the lekech, lechazek v'kani, he tells him, go ahead, take possession and acquire, then we learned in the Braisa, then it's going to be chazakah. Eloi, but if he doesn't tell him, even though he's getting compensated for, because that's what he's doing, he's selling, he might even be making a profit. And still, the guy cannot be mafzik in it until the seller tells him to go ahead and be mafzik it. So then Matana says Shmuel, so regarding a gift, where all the guy that was the original owner is really losing, I mean, he's not getting any money back for this, he's giving all of it away, like Kolshikin, isn't all the more so that he would have to first tell the guy who is the recipient, lechazek v'kanei, and that it shouldn't be a chazak until he tells him, because maybe at the time when the recipient wants to be mafzik, maybe at that point in time he already retracted, he doesn't want to gift to them anymore. And then it's a total loss because he's not getting anything back like a sale. Therefore, says Shmuel, it's obvious that their matana would not be any different than mecher, and to the contrary, all the more so that he would have to tell him lechazek v'kanei. Now, but of course, in front, then obviously he's agreeable because he sees him being mafzik, he doesn't have to tell him anything. Now, but says the Gemara of Rav, who had the question, Savri, he thought that you could say that no, because man diyav matana, someone that gives a gift, be'ayin yav yav, he gives it with a good, generous eye, because it's that there's a certain affection that he has for that person, and therefore actually he prefers that the person should go ahead and make a chazakah, and therefore you could say it's like as if he told him, lechazek v'kane, and therefore that's why Rav had this doubt that maybe, even without saying lechazek v'kane, by matana, he would be allowed to make chazakah shle b'fanav. Now, the Rashbam points out that this halacha was also obvious, meaning according to Shmuel, there was Pashatim that you need to say Lecha Segwa Kanei. In general, he also agrees to the halacha concept of when someone gives a gift, Ba'ayin Yafa Nice. Now, but that would only be, for example, if after that the recipient already took possession and it's already valid that he has received the gift, that's when Shmuel says we would say Ba'ayin Yafa Nice, meaning but that the giver had given him everything, that he hadn't left over anything for himself from that gift. As we learned in the previous stuff, the non-alpha Mbeis, when someone sells a field to his wife, so he said that she acquires it, but her husband eats the peiros. Whereas when he gifts it to her, then she acquires it, and the husband doesn't eat the peiros. Because we say when you give a gift, you give everything. Now, but that's, however, as long as we know that there is a gift, and the question is how to qualify that. But as long as we're in doubt if there was even a conclusion regarding giving of the gift, then out of doubt, we can't say that for sure the person would have given the gift until explicitly the giver said, go ahead, lechazik v'kaneh, and therefore that was obvious to Shmuel. Although you say, matana be'ayin yafa nisen, that's only if it is given, then okay, we qualified based on that, but we're not sure if you want to give it or not, then it's not so obvious. We won't say be'ayin yafa until we know for sure that he wants to give it. Now, the Gemara clarifies this halacha of the price, so too of our Mishnah, so v'kama kalshu. What is this halacha that we said that if to create a kinyan of chazaka, that let's say you make a wall or a door or open it, that we said even a kalshu, minute amount, would create a chazaka, how much is a minute amount? So the Gemara says, Kedushmo like Shmuel said. Because the Amar Shmuel, he had said regarding this halacha that gadr gedr, if someone goes and he built a wall that was less than 10, v'shlimel asar, and then he completed to 10 tfachim, so that no one could be able to go and enter into the field, or uparitz pirtz, or if he widened a breach, an opening, that a person could get in and out so that you have an entryway, that already will establish a chazaka of possession of this field that you're buying. Now the Gemara asks, Hai gedah hechadom. The Gemara wants to know and understand what is the case of this fence where we said that it was less than 10 tefachim, then you made it into 10 tefachim. Oh, that's considered making something substantial, a chazaka, showing possession of the field. That will be a kinyan. Well, what's the case? And that is, ile medimikara, if it's someone that before, when it was less than 10 tefachim, lo havasalkila, that people couldn't enter into the field, where although it's 10 tefachim, one would think you could scale such a wall, but still people weren't able to get into the field either because it was made on a slant or because it was built on an incline, whatever it was, even though it was less than 10 tefachim, people couldn't get into the field. And v'hashinamilisalkila, now that he made it even bigger, he made it into 10 tefachim, so people also can't enter into the field. So I think I'm going to ask, so then my oven. So what exactly did this machzik do? Why is it a chazaka? Any structure that's unnecessary is not a chazaka. That doesn't show possessiveness of the thing. You didn't do anything constructive. Because even before, no one was able to enter. Ve'elad meikara havasalkila. So what are you going to say? That no, when it was less than 10 tefachim, then people were able to enter into the field. Albeit with a little difficulty. Now, v'hashta, and now that you completed the wall to 10 tefachim, loy salkila, now people can't get in at all. So that the question is, then tufa offered. Then that's actually a big action. In other words, it's not fit to call it that you did a kosher with a minute amount, even though the actual building that you did was very little, but you can't call it little when it was a big deal, because before people had to get in, albeit with difficulty, now no one could get in. That's a huge thing. So why calling that a kosher in regards to the halach of making a gedder of a chazaka? So the Gemara says, Loi, no, it's necessary to say it in the following case. Before it was 10 tefachim, people were easily able to get in and out of the field, which is problematic for the protection of the field. Now, although they could get in, but it's very difficult to get in. Oh, that's kosher, that's a little bit, and that's a little bit that helps, because people could still get in. So it's not a big deal, but it's still something, and it's that something that's considered significant enough to be a chazaka of kinyan. Now, although Shmuel said that v'hishlimil asara, that if you had a wall less than 10 and you completed it to 10 tefachim, that's not necessarily that way. The same thing would be even less than 10 tefachim, where because still ultimately you accomplish something that you know, whoever, people, even people could get in, it's still going to be more difficult for them, and beforehand they're able to get in easily. It's just that that's the norm, where if you're completing a wall of 10 tefachim, we're generally beforehand, then it was easy to get in, and now you just made it a little bit more difficult. So that would be a case of what our mission, the Brice was talking about, that Gedur Kalshu would be chazaka in a field, would be if you made the wall a little bit higher, which makes it a little bit more challenging to get in, that's considered a chazaka of a Kalshu, that's enough to create a kenyan. So to Hypirtze Echadami. Gemara clarifies the other of the three cases, where if you made a breach, you made an opening that people could get in and out, what's the case talking about? That is, Ilem Edemikar Havi Ailaba, if it's some other before and people able to get in, meaning where you want people to get in, like an entryway. Vahashinami Ailaba, now also people could get in because you widened it more. So, Mayavid, what'd you do? So you made it wider, that doesn't accomplish anything. People are able to get in easy anyways before. So the Eladimikar Lahava Ailaba, so what are you gonna say? That no, before when people weren't able to get in, there was a small crack, but people couldn't even fit in. The Hashtag Ailaba, now that he widened it, he opened up that breach, people could get in. Well then Tuva, but even if it was just a small amount, but it was enough for people to get in, so that's a big thing. How are you calling that a kolshu? So it's like, the same as before, Loit Sricha Dimikarav Ailaba Bidukka. Originally people were able to get in, but with much difficulty. The Hashtag Ailaba Baravka, now people were able to get in with ease. That's a little bit that's helpful, where that will be enough to create a chazaka. Now, the Gemara didn't want to answer and say that originally they weren't able to get in at all, and now they're able to get in with difficulty, which would sound like the same idea, because that's not, that's still you doing a huge thing, because ultimately you made an opening where no one was able to get in, and now they can get in, albeit with difficulty. Now, regarding the third case that the Gemara doesn't mention, the Rashbam says you could say the same thing regarding making a door, a lock, which you could say the same thing, that he closed off an area where originally people were able to go in with ease, and now they're only able to get in with much difficulty. Or it could be talking about that he actually may put a lock on the door to lock it, which that's part of the structure that would also be considered a chazaka of the third case of Nol. Now, but however, if let's say he just closed the door, or if he locked the key that was already an existing lock, in, let's say, the possession of a ger, which is one of the cases our Mishnah talks about, that would not be chazaka, because that would only be like doing a mitzvah to protect someone else's house, and as we'll see later on, this concept that of, it's called mavriach arim nechsich averi, just like chasing away a lion of someone else's property, you're just protecting it. Now, although actually regarding the rental of houses, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Dalet Amud Aleph says that from the moment that the keys are given over to the renter, it's already considered in the possession of the renter, and the same thing actually applies to a sale. You give over the key to the buyer, that's already the kinyan. That's only by when there is a seller or someone that's renting it out to someone else. But like one of the cases of our Mishnah, Nichsi Hager, where the ger dies without any yarshim, so whoever wants to take possession of it first and get it, who's giving them over the keys to acquire it? And therefore, that cannot be considered kinyan. Rather, you have to create a structure in the actual body of the physical house or land, and therefore you need to have actually something that you have built, which is, it could be something as simple as making, widening opening, an opening, or closing off an opening. But just locking the key, you didn't add anything to the structure, that wouldn't be considered a cheskes kinyan of the case of Nol. Now the Gemara continues on this theme regarding just doing a little bit of an addition but something significant that's a finishing, as we'll see, of the product that was already considered a chazaka in the field. So Amar Basim Rechen, and he adds to these categories. He says, Nasin Tzrar, if someone puts a pebble, a rock, in a hole that's in the wall of a field. Now, all these topics that the Gemara is talking about is going on the Nichsi HaGer, regarding one of the cases of our Mishnah, which is when the Ger died without any children, the convert, and someone comes to take possession of it, and the same thing would apply if someone's buying it from his friend. So this guy goes, and this guy who wants to make the Chazaka, he puts a rock into the wall to close up a hole, vile, and it helps. Or let's say Nutl Tzrar, he actually takes a pebble out of the wall, making a hole, and vile, and it helps. Says Rabasi, in the name of Biechana, raise a chazaka, that will establish a chazaka. For example, as he said, that if it's going to be helpful for the field, as the Gemara is going to explain what that exactly is. So the Gemara says, my nasna, my natal. What does this mean that he's taking a pebble and putting in the pebble? What is it actually helping to say that he's doing something constructive in taking or putting a pebble that it's going to be a chazaka? So the Gemara explains, Ilei Menasin Tzoror, if you're going to say that the case when he puts in the pebble is when he sees a river coming about to flood in, hit this other person, this field. Now, so what does he want to do? He wants to put the pebble in the hole, and because or else the water is going to come rushing through the hole, this guy puts the rock there to block up the hole, and v'sachar ma'yimina. And so that should block the water from flooding the field, that it shouldn't go in and flood the whole field. Or the other case, notl tzrar, when he takes the pebble out, it's v'afik ma'yimina, so that the water which is gathering into the field and is going to ruin the field, so he opens up a hole on the other side so that it could flood out the other side. On that, as the Gemara, if that's the cases of the rocks taking out or putting in, that's what's called chasing away the line from his friend's property. That's comparable to the halacha of hashavas aveda, of returning someone's lost object, where it's not only if it's lost and you bring it back, but if it's going to get ruined and then you protect it, every single Jew is commanded to save his friend's money from being damaged. So therefore, that's not considered a chazaka. Rather, chazaka is only if you make a wall or if you make an opening where you're doing something physically in the structure or anything that's necessary to be misakin the needs of the field. For example, if you're watering it or if you're pruning it or if you're plowing it or if you're planting, that would be considered chazaka. But here, if you're putting in the rock so that the water doesn't flood, or if you're taking the rock to let the water out, that's just protecting it. That's not doing anything to make the field productively, intrinsically to the field. So Al-Rahla says the Gemara, no, the cases are nus and throw. The case of when you put the rock in is ditzamad lamaya. So the word summon means to be connected. And so actually that the water should be connected inside. In other words, that the water should not go out, which is like, for example, in the bathtub, you put the plug in. That's like you're watering the field, which is similar to plowing because you're fixing the field and you're making it better by this watering. By putting the rock in, you're maintaining the water in over there. So it's like as if you're watering it. And notl tzrar, when you the case of taking the rock, is because va'arvach lamaya, is that by taking the rock, actually that's when water could come in from the river that's on the side of the hole of the wall, where you take it out, and then the water could come in. That's like watering the field. Those would be cases that would also be the same thing as the halacha of nol gadol parts, where it's the same idea that you're doing something constructive in the actual body of the land itself. That would be considered cheskes kenyan. Another halacha from Amar Vasi, Amar B'yechanan. Says shtei sadeis. So if there's two fields that were owned by a ger, a convert, that were near each other, and he passed away without any children. Now the thing is that there is a meitzer echad b'nein. There was a boundary, which generally the boundary markers were elevated or lower down to show the difference. There was a boundary between these two fields. Now hichzik ba'achas man. If a person who, after the ger died, without any children, he goes and he makes a chazaka in one of the fields. For example, he digs a little bit in one of them, as the Gemara later on will explain, that that's considered a chazaka in karka. And now he intends, l'knaisa, to acquire that field itself. Now he didn't think about the field that's connected, but that's separated with a boundary on that other side. That he didn't intend to acquire by doing this small chazaka in this karka. So says Ravasi, then k'na. So he's acquired only that field itself that he did the chazaka on. Now, the significance of this is because if there wouldn't have been a boundary between those two fields, then by default, automatically, we would say that just by doing that little digging, he would have acquired like the whole, meaning both fields, meaning because if no boundary, it would be considered one big field, he would have acquired the whole thing. But since it's a boundary and he tended to acquire just this, he only acquired that field and not the other field. Now, however, it's good to continue to Amud Beis. Let's say when he was doing chazaka in one of the fields, he intended to be liknois, that he should acquire with this chazaka, he intended to acquire both fields, which is Eisev Eschaverta, this field that he's doing the digging on, and the neighboring field. Says Rabbi Yechanan, Eisekana, so he has only acquired that field that he did the chazaka on, but Chaverta Leikana, but the other one, which the boundary separates between it, he has not acquired. Because as Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says later on, Davnun Heimer Aleph, that there are certain things that separate, one of them being the boundary in the properties of the ger, considering it as a different piece of property. Now, this halacha is uniquely for the halacha of nichse hager, where there the kinyan is only by oneself. There's no one that's acquiring it to you, because the ger here is dead. And therefore, the only ability that the person who's doing the chazaka has is for the field that he's making the chazaka on. But actually, if it was a sale, then Rabbi Yochanan would agree that if someone does a chazakah on only one of, let's say, the 10 fields that are being sold to him, he would acquire all of them. As the Gemara says explicitly in the first paragraph of Masechta Baba Kama, so it is brought later on in Mechas Habayi, Staf Samach Zayin Madalf, that Shmuel says if someone sells someone 10 fields in 10 different countries, and he does a chazakah on one of them, he's acquired all of them. And actually, it's explicit b'raisa. It says like Shmuel in the first paragraph of Masechta Kedushin of Chazayin Mabez, where the Gemara there explains the reason for that is because what's called Sadna Da'ara Chadhu. The contiguousness of land is really one. It's all connected. So doing chazakah on one is like you're doing on all of them, as the Brisa there explains that when did we say this, that you acquire all of them, is that if you get the lekeach, gave to the meicher the value of all the 10 fields, where then all of them are meshubit to the lekeach because of the money that he gave him. So then the chazakah of one of them acquires all the 10 fields. But if he didn't give him the money from all of them, then he would only acquire according to what the money that he gave him. Now, so therefore, by the Nichsi Hager, where there's also the same idea of not having given the money, so then you only acquire the field that you're doing the chazakah on. Just like over there, where if he didn't give the money for all the 10 fields, he would not acquire all 10. So only because he gave it already, and they're considered connected, because all land is one, so then if you would do a chazakah on one, you acquire all 10. But again, that's the halacha that we're told by is uniquely regarding the halacha of Nichsi Hager. So that's if he was trying to make chazakah in both by doing chazakah in one of them, he wants to acquire both, he only acquires the one that he did the chazakah on. Now let's say liknes is chaverta. Let's say he did the chazakah in one field with the intention to acquire only the other field. So then, af oisel lekana. Then even that one he has not acquired. Now, the reason is because the one that he wanted intend to, that doesn't help because he didn't do chazakah on that one. And even the one that he did a chazakah on, he did not intend to be machzik in it because he only intended to acquire the other one. So then he has not acquired it, even though he did the action of the chazakah. But a chazakah is only with the intention of the person wanting to acquire it. The kinyan could only work with his das, and he didn't have das to acquire this one that he actually did the chazakah on. He hasn't acquired anyone. Now, Bayer B'zeira. B'zeira asked regarding this halacha the following case. Hichzik ba'achas man. If, let's say, he does a chazakah in one of them. Liknois oisa, with the intention to acquire that field that he's doing the, let's say, digging in. Vesa meitzer, and the same case as before, but his intention here is different, and to acquire the boundary, the eschaverta, and to acquire the neighboring field, which is also from the ger who died. Now, what's the halacha in that case? As the Gemara explains, his question is, mi amrinan, do we say that this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan that said that if you do chazakah in one of the fields, you do not acquire the field that's right next to it, that's separated by the boundary? The reason for that is because he did not intend to acquire the boundary too. So since the boundary separates, so that's why Rabbi Yochanan was saying that the chazakah from one field cannot help for the other one that's not directly connected to it because it's separated by the boundary. But the question of Rabbi Zeir was, but over here where he's intending to acquire the boundary together with the other field, what would halacha be in that situation? Do we say that that meitzah da'ara, that boundary of the land, where he's doing, in that land, that he's doing a chazakah in one land. Now, the boundary is connected to both fields. So the boundary that of the land that he's doing chazakah on, he's acquiring that land, and he also wants to acquire the boundary, and which that boundary is also connected to the land of the other side of the boundary. That will all say chadu. It's all one. Because by doing chazakah on the karka, yeah, you'll acquire the meitzer with it, and then if the meitzer is connected to the other field, then you acquire the other field too. Or maybe that, no, you say that we consider them all independent. Because ultimately the boundary is separate and distinct from the fields, because again it's either higher than the fields or lower than the fields, and that makes each area distinct in its own, where you have the boundary and you have the field. Now, the question is not only, meaning of the other, this other side of the question, is not only telling us that you're not going to acquire the other field, but actually this side of the question would even tell you that you wouldn't acquire even the boundary. Now, although that Rabbi Yechanan said that when you acquire one field, you're not going to acquire the other field, the truth is that you're not even going to acquire the boundary too in the field that you're making the chazakah on. It's just that normally people are not concerned about acquiring the actual boundary. They just want to acquire a field. But the logic of it is that saying the reason why you're not going to acquire the other field is because you cannot acquire the other field because you're not even acquiring the boundary that separates between the two fields. So that's the question. If he intends to acquire the field that he's making the chazakin and the boundary and the neighboring field, would we say they're all one and then he could acquire it? Or would we say, no, you can't because we consider them distinct because the boundary cannot be considered contiguous with the field, and therefore that separates to not only not acquire the other field, but even the boundary itself. So if you want to take it, let it stand. It's not clear in that case what Rabbi Yechon would say. Would he say that there too, you cannot acquire the other field? Or would he say that there, since you're intending to acquire the boundary and the other field, then we would view it as one, and then by doing the chazakah in one part of it, he would make a chazakah, and the kinyan would be on all of it. A similar type of discussion. Bali Rabbi Elazar. Elazar says, Hechzik b'meitza. Actually, what's if the halacha, if he makes the chazakah, in the same case we mentioned before, but he does the chazakah in the boundary, where he digs a little bit in the boundary. Liknei shteihen, with the intention to acquire both of the fields that are on either side of the boundary. Ma, what's halacha over there? Now, the reason is because even if you're going to say that if someone does a chazakah in the field, he has not acquired the boundary, and then therefore he's not going to acquire the other field on the other side of it too, there the reason is because the boundary doesn't need the fields and has no need for it. So therefore, when you're acquiring the karka, the field, that doesn't say anything about the boundary because the boundary doesn't need the field. The field needs the boundary. Now, but therefore the question then becomes that me, I mean, do we say, hi meitzer, this boundary, however, is meshubit to the field to protect the field. That's what the point of the boundary is, to separate and protect the field. So then maybe in this case we would say afsidr da'arahu. It's just like how rains are protecting the field. That's what the boundary does to the fields. Meaning, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin, that this idea that if someone sells 10 animals with one pair of reins, wouldn't you acquire all the animals? And the reason is because you're holding on to the reins, and the reins are connected to all the 10 animals. Now, essentially, the boundaries are the same thing. It's like the reins of the land. So it's as if you're holding on to all the lands because the boundary is connected to both lands on either side, and therefore vakani. Maybe if you take possession of, you do a chazakah in the boundaries to acquire both fields, maybe that would work. Or maybe no, they're also hailuchadekoi vahailuchadekoi, that you ultimately would consider the boundary as a distinct area. And by doing chazakah in the boundary, that will not acquire the fields. Now, although that it's seemingly the first option of the question was saying that it's like rains, and that this second option of the question would say that no, it's not comparable to rains of animals, because actually, as the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin differentiates, because the Gemara there says, can you really compare selling 10 fields in 10 different places to the reins of an animal? There, by the reins, you're holding on to all the animals through this one pair of reins. Here, it's not connected in your hand, so now that the boundary is on either side, but ultimately it is considered a distinct area, and maybe it would not acquire both fields if you do chazakah in the meitzer. So it's going to take it, let it stand there, also it's not clear. A similar discussion, like from the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara says, from Amr ibn Nachman, Amr Rab Barvua, and a different type of a case. Shnei batim, before he was talking about two fields with a boundary between it, now we're talking about two apartments, two houses. Zelef nemizeh, one within the other one. In other words, that the inner house, the only way he can get out is to go through his door into the other person's apartment, and only through going through the other person's apartment to be able to get out to the street. So let's say the ger died without any children. And he had two apartments, but one he had to go through one to get into the other apartment. So says Rav Nachman in the name of Rabbi Ravua, Hechzik bechitzin leknoise. Let's say he did a chazakah in the outer apartment. He did something, plastering, whatever he did that's considered a chazakah. He made a door, he closed up a door. He made a chazakah in the outer house to acquire it. So knoise, so he's acquired it. Liknes oisei vesa panimi. Let's say he did a chazakah in the outer apartment with the intention to acquire the outer apartment and the inner apartment. So chitzin kana, so he's acquired the outer apartment, but panimi like kana, but he's not acquired the inner apartment because the inner apartment has no shibud, has no services that it has to provide for the outer apartment to consider it as if the chazakah in the outer apartment should be considered part of the inner apartment because it has no relationship with that. But let's say liknes as a panimi. Let's say he intended if let's say he's doing chazakah in the outer apartment with the intention to acquire the inner apartment, then he has not even acquired the outer apartment like we said before, because what he did a chazakah on, he didn't intend to acquire. And the chazakah in the outer apartment cannot acquire the inner apartment. Now, let's say hechzik b'pnim leknoise. Let's say he does a chazakah in the inner apartment to acquire it. So then, he's acquired it because he did a chazakah in it. Let's say Liknis Oisei Ves Achitzen, here it's different than the outer apartment. When he's in the inner apartment, and he does a chazak on it, and his intention is acquired it and the outer apartment, then Kondashne, and then he's acquired both of them, because the inner apartment has rights in the outer apartment. So the outer apartment is like a tuffle to the inner apartment. It's meshubit to it. So if you do a chazak in the inner apartment, that would be considered, by extension, if you have that intention, to then be both on the inner and the outer apartment. Now, let's say Liknes Tzachitzin, let's say he's doing a kinyan, a chazakah on the inner apartment, but with the intention to only acquire the outer apartment, and that's why he did the chazakah on the inner apartment, then, again, as we said, af panim lekana, then he has not even acquired the inner apartment, because the primary place where you did the chazakah, you didn't intend to acquire, and the place that you intend to acquire, you didn't do chazakah on. Now, the Gemara continues with another halacha from Amar Nachman, Amar Rab Baravua, continue on this more general theme that we're talking about regarding Nichsi Hager, which again is the halacha that we mentioned at the end of our Mishnah, regarding when the ger dies without any children, his properties are essentially hafker. Whoever wants could go ahead and do a chazaka and thereby acquire it, but you have to do a chazaka. So says Rav Nachman, Habayne palterin gedoyle menichs hager. If someone sees, okay, great, I can take possession of this, he builds this huge mansion in the property of the ger. After this guy built this huge mansion, a second guy comes along and puts up doors on the mansion. Kana, the second guy has acquired it. My time, what's the reason? Says the Gemara very simply. Kama livne ba'amuhu da'apach. The first guy, all he did was, which the terminology that's used is, he just turned over bricks and he put one on top of the other. What that means to say is that as long as you didn't put doors on the house, what'd you do? Before, people were able to get in with ease, and now some people get in with ease because you didn't put any doors. The reason for that is because the beginning of a structure is not primary, it's the conclusion of that that's important. As learned in the Mishnah of Membeis and Aleph, that said that Nol v'Gadar, when we said that one of the easy ways, even the Kolshu, to do a chazaka in a piece of land, including that of Nichsager, is if you close up a door or if you make a wall, that is when you put up the doors. Because although it's very small, but you finished it off. But if you just do a little building, that we never learned that would be considered. So even if you build a huge mansion, you didn't put up the doors, you didn't do anything, and therefore the second guy will have acquired the nechse hager. So too, Amr Avdimi Bar Yesub Amr Blazi says, Hamaiti palterim nechse hager. Someone finds a built mansion in the properties of a convert. Now, and it's not lacking anything. Now, he's trying to think, how could I go ahead and make a chazaka in this mansion to acquire it? There's nothing new for me to introduce into this house to make a chazaka. Now, but what he does is v'sod ben siyud echad. So what he does is he does a new coat of plaster. Aikir echad, or he carves in some engravings into the wall, making some graven images. Then he's acquired it, because ultimately, maybe didn't need it, but he went and made this thing which finished off the product, and it's something that was even though kosher, it's something significant, so then he's acquired the mansion. Now, ask the Gemara of Vakama, now how much would be necessary to beautify by doing, let's say, a coat of plaster to create a chazaka in that mansion? Some of Yusuf says Amma, says if it's a square Amma, then you do that, that's already enough to be considered you did a chazaka in the mansion. Now, Rav Chizki qualifies this halacha as a keneged pesach, but it's only if it's when the opposite of when you're walking in from the entrance to the house, the wall that you're facing when you walk in, where there it's more visible and to beautify, and that's why that's the place where you're supposed to have zeich l'churban, also a square amma, something significant that you could see. So that's where if you did that plastering, you made that graven image, that would be considered something significant to have made the chazak in the mansion. But what he's essentially saying is that if it were somewhere else, then you would have to make it larger than the amma. It wouldn't be significant enough. People don't notice that. It's only right when you walk in that it's enough to be an amma. Now, Amr Vamrim, he says, Hi Milsa, this idea that we're going to say shortly, Amalon Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis had told us this halacha from his own understanding. Van Hirinu Einin Mimasnitin. Now, however, he lit up our eyes to bring a proof to his opinion from the brayse that we're going to quote. What was the halacha that he told us? He said as follows, continuing on this theme about Nichse Ager. Hamatzia Matzois. If someone lays out mats and he lays them down there on the ground, B'Nichse Ager, in the properties of the convert who died without any children, Kana. With that itself, by laying down on the ground with those mats, he's acquired the property of the ger. Now, that's in spite of the fact that it's none of the cases that our Mishnah mentioned regarding making a door or a wall or making an entryway, where he didn't do anything, which up until now we thought that was integral, to do some type of a tikkun, of a fixing, of a changing in the land itself. All you have in this case is that this guy had pleasure from the body of the land itself, where the ground served him because he was laying on it. That, says Rav Sheshes, is a chazaka. Now, what's the reason for this halacha? The Rashbam says what it seems to him is that we learn this out from, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin, where it talks about where a piece of land can be acquired with a chazaka. It brings a pasuk, "V'shavu bo'areichem asher tafastem," that you will return to your cities, that you will take hold of it, which teaches us with what will you take hold of it, with what the pasuk says, "V'shavu," which with yeshiva, which is settling in it, which is sitting on it. Moreover, where the pasuk gets brought over, the birashtim oisa b'yashavtim ba, that you will inherit it and you will sit in it, meaning with what will you inherit it? With just sitting in it. That's the same idea, where what's included in sitting is when you lay on the ground, that is already considered a chazaka in the karka to acquire it. Now, that was his halacha, that as long as the ground is just serving you by laying on it, so it's supporting you, that's going to be considered a kinyan of chazaka. And va'anirinu einim imestit, and then he lit up her eyes. He proved this idea from the following brisa. Mahi, what is this? The time like Lina brisa. The brisa says ketzad bechazaka. It's talking about the acquisition of an eved kanani, of a non-Jewish slave, by a Jewish owner, where the Mishnah Masechta Kedushin says that he's acquired with a chazaka. So on that, the question was said in the brisa. So how can you make a chazaka, a proprietary act, in a slave? So the Braisa says, no aloi, if the slave goes and ties for his master, min aloi, his shoe, where the servant is serving his master, that's going to be considered a chazaka. And so to all these cases are that same idea. Now that's what proves Rav Sheshes halacha, that when someone spreads out mats and lays down on the ground of the ger, so the ground is also serving him, that itself will be a chazaka to acquire the land. Where the other cases in the Braisa says so too, or he unties his shoe, so he carries his garments after him for carrying it to when he goes to the bathhouse, or vefshita, he undresses him, verchitza, he bathes him, sachay, he anoints him, garda, or he scrapes off like the hard skin on his body, vilbisha, he clothes him, ben iloy, and he puts on his shoes, which Rashbam points out that this is the same thing as the case before of nolim and nolim, putting his shoes. It's just that since we're talking about the whole thing about all these different activities, going to the bath and bathing, it's all in sequential form. So after clothing is it's when you put on the shoes, that's why he mentions it again. And v'higbiyoy, which the Gemara later is going to explain who's picking up who. So kanai, so any one of these activities would be considered chazaka in the Evan, and he would acquire it. Now on that, Reb Shimon says, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain what exactly is Reb Shimon saying, no, let not the kinyan of chazaka be any greater than the kinyan of agbah, of lifting up. Because lifting up, that kinyan acquires everywhere. So if chazaka works, then for sure agbah should work. So the Gemara is my kama. What are these two tanoim saying? In other words, when the Tanakama said the last one of his kinyanim, he was mentioning that you could acquire a chazaka of an eved, he said v'higbiyoy, and that he picks him up, who's picking up who? And what was Reb Shimon responding? That he was saying that, oh, don't say chazaka works in hagbah, not, because for sure hagbah works everywhere, for sure it should work. Where it sounds like Reb Shimon is saying the same thing as Tanakama. Tanakama already said higbiyah works. So what's Reb Shimon saying? That you should say higbiyah works. So I think Moshe says, no, hachikama. This is what the Tanakama was saying. Tanakama was saying higbiyah l'raboy, as all the cases he was talking about, where the slave was servicing the master. The last one was talking about after he bathed him and he anointed him and he clothed him and he put on his shoes, and then the slave then picked up. For example, let's say the master needed to be picked up, where he had to be picked up from the bathhouse and be brought to his bed. Let's say an elderly person where he's doing all these things for him, and then he picks him up. That's what the Tanakam was saying, that kanai, with that he has acquired the slave by the slave picking him up. And the reason for this is, like we mentioned before, which was the support for Rav Sheshes halacha, is because he's serving his master, where he's leaning on him. And that's, again, similar to Rav Sheshes halacha of spreading out the mats in the Nechse Ager, where since he's leaning and it's supporting him when he's laying on the ground, with that he acquires what's supporting him, which could be either a slave or the ground. But be a rabbi loy, but if the master picks up the slave, that's a tanakama held loy kanoi. With that, he has not acquired the slave because it doesn't apply the kinyan of agbah of lifting up by a slave only by regular movable items like a toy or a cub, where that's not normal for someone to pick up a human. Why are you picking him up? Like, what does that mean? By an object, you pick it up, it shows that it's yours. So that's where the kinyan of a hagbo works. But Tanakam held, but to pick up a slave, that's not going to acquire him. On that, on Reb Shimon, that's what Reb Shimon was saying and disagreeing, he says, no. Loitei chazaka. It shouldn't be that these chazakas, these proprietary acts of the slave, which is when the slave is tying his shoes or clothing him or bathing him or taking off his clothing, it shouldn't be gedolei magbo. It shouldn't be greater than the kinyan of when the master picks up the slave for the master to acquire the slave. And why, says Reb Shimon? Because the kinyan of agbah lifting up is so powerful that we find that it's kind of b'chal makom. It acquires everywhere, meaning even in the domain of the seller, which many times, let's say when you're doing the kinyan of meshicha, of drawing near, or mesira, of giving over, that actually does not acquire in the domain of the seller, but agbah does. And so too, the kinyan of agbah could acquire even Rishus HaRabim and the Simta, which some kinyan cannot be done in the Rishus HaRabim. Agbah could be, so says Reb Shimon, that you cannot have that these chazakas should be stronger than agbah, which agbah is such a stronger kinyan, and therefore he disagreed with the Tanakam, and he said that not only, which is the source of Sheish HaLacha, that if the servant, if the slave picks up the master, then he acquires the slave. But he said that even if the master picks up the slave, which is the Kinyan Magbah, for sure that it's going to work too. But again, that's where the support for Sheish HaLacha, which regarding the topic that we're discussing here on this daf and from the Halacha of Mishnah, of Nichsei Hager, where the Halacha is, even if he just lays out mats and he lays down, where it's supporting him and serving him, that itself, even though it's not doing an act, as we were saying all along in this daf, which you have to do a finishing off product of not just protecting, but of actually creating in the structure of the tikkun of the karka, that would be considered even a kalshu, which we said you're doing something at least somewhat significant of making an opening or closing. Here, this is a unique way of creating a chazak in the karka, because by its serving you, that is a cheskes of, that's a kinyan of chazaka, whether it be in the land or like we brought from this brice of in the case of an evet kanani.